Hello and welcome to Pitch and Play, the only podcast where the games that you recommend to your friends actually will get played. My name is Ross.
My name is Cassie.
And one day I will actually remember on call what the hell the actual intro is.
I think you got it pretty good at it, and you made a dig about how unless they had some kind of binding contract like a podcast, most people, when their friend says, "Hey, I want you to play The Sims Bustin' Out on the GBA," most people would say, "Shut the fuck up."
I mean, I do like that you made me sign a contract in my own blood on my fingertip.
Yes, we shipped it across the country, across the ocean.
Yes, we did many dark things to make this happen. Clearly, but yeah. So today we'll be talking about The Sims busting out on handheld
GBA. There was an N-Gage version as well.
That's what I did in my research. I found that out.
Oh, I was going to say, did you play the N-Gage version?
Did anyone play the N-Gage version?
Yes. One reviewer cited it. Hang on, let me pull up Scholarly Journal Wikipedia.
While you're looking for that, for people who don't know, the N-Gage is probably the earliest attempt at a mobile phone mixed with a gaming console way before smartphones. I say way. It's like 3 years before.
So Scholarly Journal Wikipedia says The Times, not the New York Times. The Times is apparently, and you'd probably know this, Ross, a British daily national newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You can tell us about how reputable it is. But The Times gave the N-Gage version all 5 stars, saying the graphics are sublime. Though this scaled-down version does have its limitations, there are, for example, no SimSpeak exchanges since the conversations are all text-based. Still, Bustin' Out should help to broaden the appeal of the N-Gage. I don't think that pans out as the Times predicted.
I'm just going to say it now. A lot of journalists, gaming journalists from back then, were hacks who didn't know what quality would be if they threw it in like their face. Not to say specifically about this game, but the amount of, like, the graphics were sublime is, even at the time, still not the case. to move on, could you recap, Cassie, why you recommended this to me and what the game actually is about?
Yes, I would love to. So I recommended The Sims Bustin' Out to you, Ross, not just because I have nostalgia goggles on, but because I think that it is... Okay, you're making a face. I think that it is a legitimately like fascinating product in like how do we turn this PC game into a mobile game that's like accessible by many audiences and still like able to work and be controlled on this limited device. So I think it's fascinating in that sense. I think that it has that progression that you really, really love of like feeling like you are moving forward as a player and like gaining things along the way. Although now that I'm saying that, I'm like, well, the progression really is just you get nicer houses.
I'm going to talk about progression, don't you worry.
Yeah, but the premise of the game is that you are a young adult who moves out to Sim Valley from Sim City to live with your Uncle Hayseed, and you are trying to bust out to get out of the family home and like strike out on your own.
Cool. Okay. Yes.
Is it cool?
Is it cool? I mean, I'm probably going to talk. So I'll definitely talk about my experience with playing it.
Please.
I will probably talk also about just Maxis at the time, Maxis being the owners of the creators and owners of the Sim brand at the time, and just their general like work approach and game approach and project approach, just how they came up with creative ideas. But I will talk about The Sims Bustin' Out a bit more. So I realize that this has echoes of Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, of the kids moving out of their like humdinger,
okay,
like crappy place that they live with their parents to make it out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you literally go on a bus and then just arrive somewhere random. There's very similar openings, which I'm wondering if you're setting up a weird pattern for me to follow with games. it's not like that at all. It starts very... So, for a start, it's an isometric game, meaning yes. It comes from a sort of, not top-down directly approach, but angled, so the world is still flat to walk around on, but gives an impression of 3D. So it gives an almost perspective of how you experience The Sims in some ways, because that's usually how people play at an angle to see through objects, but, you know, encounter a load of things. The Sims on the PC, sorry. It introduces you to a quest system, essentially, of here's an arrow above someone's head. This was the thing I didn't really understand initially, is why they used, like, a red arrow pointing towards a character rather than, like, the well-known crystal of the Sims' heads.
It's called a plumbob.
Plumbob. Mm-hmm. You know what? The Sims franchise deserves to die.
hard disagree. I'm so excited for Project Renee.
I just meant just the names they give stuff is sometimes awful. But yeah, it starts you off by talking to this one character who is, yes, your uncle, Uncle Hayseed.
Your uncle, because that gets complicated pretty soon. Well, actually by the end, but go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to reveal now that I did not finish the storyline, but I did experience it through reading and watching long plays because... I have not got the grinding mentality for this game.
That's fine.
So you start off, I'm mainly trying to talk about the experience of onboarding and how much it actually sort of excited me. So I should actually start off. You do have a creator sim that you start off with before all this, and it is basically a very generic, very simplistic of pick a head option, I believe, and a skin tone. And then you basically get to pick clothes, which honestly don't matter, but you get to pick a colour of all the clothes, which they all, like, take part. And considering how big a fashion thing I remember Sims being, your character looks fucking awful. Like,
all
they
the
look
characters
like a mess.
Do.
Yeah, sort of, but they at least have their own identity to them. Like, Uncle Hayseed's pretty identifiable. The detective, whose name I've forgotten, is pretty identifiable.
Detective Dan DeMann.
Dan DeMann.
every character's name is a pun of some kind.
Yes, it is. And I sort of appreciate that. I like it at the time, but saying it out loud does make me cringe. you don't really have much of a character to customize, which I was the biggest letdown at the beginning, because that is such a thing established throughout The Sims, is the sense of you within the world, or at least a character of you that you can place in the world. So that was a slight disappointment. But I have to say, if nothing else, the music beats that they got off this game were surprisingly good.
Yes, there are some bangers.
Yeah, they're just... It reminds me how good some, I guess this would be 16-bit-ish type music is. Just the limited audio systems that those cartridge games would have had at the time. And yeah, just... like encoding really simple beats and pitching them differently, but they're really like dun, 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 like I can just hear it in my head, which is good.
And I will say too, music is very, very important to The Sims, to the Sim series, because The Sims in the City featured musical guests the Black Eyed Peas.
Who could forget the peak of the success that they tried to do? Did they sing in Simlish?
Oh, they sure did.
Of course they did. This was way before Katy Perry.
The console versions of The Sims 3, I want to say, had Paramore doing their song Pressure, which was like, at the time, one of my most favorite songs in Simlish. But yeah, anyway, go on.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. So you sort of start off getting introduced to the basic mechanics, and I do actually quite appreciate the tutorialization of how tongue-in-cheek everything is. It's a good intro to the humor of the game, of this Uncle Hayseed basically going, you know, like, hey, you should use this, press X or whatever, and it's like, you'll find out what it does. And it's very much within the character's voice. It's not as if they're trying to separate that this is a game.
Yeah.
It almost seems like they're very self-aware, which makes them very endearing as characters. like a great little introduction. But yeah, you get introduced to the dialogue system, which is sort of similar-ish to how the Sims games do, but instead of it being a one word, like what your character will do, you're actually given like dialogue choices, and they are unique to each character depending on who the mm-hmm. character is. So for example, you have Uncle Hayseed, you can say like, your chickens are my favorite chickens in the world, and that will get like positive like attributes from him because you're cheering him up or complimenting him, whatever like the traditional Sims thing would be. And if you're talking to Detective Dan the Man, you'll be like, that's a real nice like fedora you have on, Detective, and he'll be like, hey, thanks. And you know, you've complimented a different character, so you've sort of got these expanded interesting dialogue options in a way, because you're trying to figure out characters and how they respond to each.
Yeah. So those dialogue options, did you find them as hilarious as I do?
Yeah, I found them mostly funny, because they are clearly there to be like a joke of...
The joke is on you for playing this game.
I mean, on me especially. But more like... It's more of a joke of it doesn't take The Sims too seriously, which is sort of the point. Like, when you talk to Detective Dan D-Man, you can, like, spread gossip, but that gossip is usually around, you know, I've got a few of them here, actually. I hear Nora Zeal-Ott is taking soft money contributions, which is basically you just snitching on your neighbors, which I find hilarious. Or, like, there's an apologize option of, sorry for not using the crosswalks. Like, of course that matters to a police-type detective. It's just silly.
I have one that's, like, stuck in my brain for Uncle Hayseed. You can say to him, now I know why Aunt Hayseed left.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. There are genuinely hilarious things that you can say to these people. Like, one of the characters, Dusty Hogg, he's like a biker type. You can say to him, I'm sorry the speed limit is so low around here. it's genuinely like absolutely hilarious shit. We can talk more about the characters too, but there's another one, Claire Clutterbell, who's really, really good. And her whole thing is that she's like into poetry and like is a writer. And some of the shit you can say to her is absolutely unhinged. And I love it.
I've got to say a few more lines here.
Yes, please. For
Daddy Big Bucks. So there's an apologize option, which is just, sorry, I'm poor. Which is just, or the brag is, I have two bank accounts.
Claire Clutterbell, I'm looking at some of them. I've written 10 manifestos is a brag option. I once memorized Paradise Lost. Oh yeah, I genuinely found this stuff funny when I was a kid playing this game, and then playing it again as adult as like somebody incredibly brilliant whose brain is broken in the same way mine is wrote this stuff, and I love it.
The thing is, I can't really establish is if the people who were writing for this love The Sims or hated The Sims.
I think love, because this humor is the same as what's in The Sims. The Sims is like an absolutely hilarious... Sorry, I just saw another one for Claire Clutterbell. Psst, I love to sneakily split infinitives. Oh, I love it. Anyway, The Sims has like a really weird and like self-deprecating humor. This writing definitely has its own tone to it that continues into The Herbs, but The Sims is unhinged in its humor as well.
I feel like this is more unhinged though than anything I've seen before for The Sims. Like,
I mean, it may have just been a studio of people who are like, we are good game developers. Like, this is a well-made game, I would say, in many respects. But we are assigned to work on this shit.
Potentially. I mean, to talk a bit more about the core of the game loop, just to go forward. So, yeah, so you say some really funny stuff to Uncle Hayseed, and he's basically just your introduction to most of the base mechanics. Now, there's a lot of, like, similar beats to how the game works. So you still need to like sleep in a bed, shower, go to the toilet, eat food, all the regular stuff, which is pretty much as simple as it can be, which, you know, you approach said object. This is another thing. You're actually directly controlling just the one character. So it's not like point here and they'll go there. I would argue that this plays more like an adventure game character where you're moving them around and like interacting with the environment. But yeah, you get introduced to these sort of basic elements of how the game will work. And then you're sort of also shown how there's not really a build mechanic in this game. It's essentially you just take objects or buy objects and then you open them out of your inventory and place them in the world. And I think it's specifically just in your rooms, your properties.
Yeah.
And it's very simple, like grid-based placing and rotating. It's not, there's no complexity to it really. But it's interesting in a way because it tried to take the Sims mechanics from the PC and port them to a simpler input method, or at least this isn't like the console version of Busting Out where you had a pointer on the map which you moved around and you would have 3D environments to like have multiple floors as easily. You know, this is very much here's a flat isometric plane, do what you can with what you've got. So it does a lot with what it has, but it does limit itself massively. Like, I would say you're right in what you pitch to me in the idea of this isn't really The Sims. This is like The Sims adventure game in my mind.
Yeah.
This is not the game that I play. This is like a spin-off. But it doesn't really present itself like that. It seems to take itself very much like it's trying to do a lot more of what The Sims is on PC, when realistically it's struggling with that identity crisis because it's The Sims, but it's not The Sims. And at times it doesn't really know what it's doing. So the whole thing of you are like exploring the town, interacting with people is cool. But at the same time, you quickly need to go back to your house to go to the toilet to fall asleep or whatever. Unlike Sims PC game, which would allow you to do that in a friend's house or something, or in a neighborhood lot or whatever, you don't have that. You always have this house to come back to, and it sort of limits exactly what you can do. And it also limits those things in more ways. So you can't you can't romance characters as much. A big thing of the original Sims game is, you know, you could build your life. You can, you know, fall in love, have sex, get married, I can't actually remember if you can have a kid in the first game.
You can, yes.
Cool.
And it's not called sex, it's called woohooing.
Sorry, woohoo for the young audience members we have who are going to be playing this game. But yeah,
this game that came out before they were born. Yeah, go on.
Yes, yeah, no. So like, I get I get that it can't do all of that, but it did really start to show the wear and tear for me when I'm doing these quests, which are fine, but I knew at the end of it the reward would just be more quests. It didn't feel as if I was gaining much from it.
Sure.
I was there for experiencing quirky characters with silly written dialogue. I guess I'm summarizing everything a bit now, but I can't help it.
As you progress, you do, so like this is a difference from Herbs, that Herbs changes this. As you progress through Bustin' Out, like you have a set of missions and like you get to different tiers. And as you move to those different tiers, you unlock better property. So like you start living in Uncle Hayseed's barn, then you move into, I think, the clock tower and then into like a little villa. Like, so like that is kind of the reward that you are getting as you move between these things. But you're right that like the decorating aspects of this game and the like very Sims aspect of this game feels very disconnected from everything else that you're doing. So like it almost feels like they were told, hey, make a handheld Sims game. And so they made that mechanic of like, here's how you place these items on a grid-based system. It's like, oh, well, that's all well and good, but that's not enjoyable to play. Like, that's not its own game. So like, what else? Yeah, I do see that. There's like two worlds that you're kind of like torn between. But sorry, go on.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think it's, I'm trying not to summarize this game really quickly, but it's probably not as deep. It's definitely not as deep as Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. No. So I don't think I'll be talking it as long as that. But it feels like a game that definitely had... Okay, I'm going to pair this back because this is also the week of the Lord of the Rings Gollum game getting slated by the press.
Yes.
And I have to say, as someone who works on games, like, the majority of games that are made by usually talented people who are maligned by things out of their control. There are always talented people on teams. There are often teams that come together and want to do the best game that they can with what they have. And I can't deride any team that put effort and love in and it just didn't work out because something didn't click or money was a problem or management was terrible. There are so many factors that make bad games happen, and very few of them are people are bad at their job or don't like to make games. That's not what's happening. And I can see it in the handheld version. There is a love, there's a care, an attentiveness, and there's a want to make something here. The problem is it feels like this game was a mixture of the developers trying to make an adventure game and then being told it needs to be a Sims-branded game because it's got really damn popular.
Sure.
So I don't blame any of the real problems I have on the development team because what they did was great with what they had. I mean, a Game Boy Advance game trying to replicate a PC game. Like, I know that nowadays mobile games and PC games aren't as, like, a large gap. But thinking about what a GBA could do, I mean, they couldn't even render 3D. Like, it was all very, well, okay, they might have been able to fake the 3D, but they couldn't render proper models and stuff like that, which is why the isometric stuff was there. It's meant to evoke that sense of a 3D place without actually being able to do it. And I feel like a lot of that love is, you know, put there to collect the chickens, like buy things. The problem is it's just not designed properly for what it is. And I don't know if there's much more I can say on it, really.
I will say, talking about Griptonite Games, who developed this game, I mentioned in the pitch, but they also developed Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets for the Game Boy Color, which that one is a lot easier to turn into an adventure game because it's following like a linear story. It's following the story of the books, the movies, whatever. That is very much a kind of like, not point and click adventure game because it's still on the Game Boy Color, but it's very much that like adventure game format. So I think part of this is just like that the adventure game stuff is good, and that's maybe what the development team brought to it because that's what they were experienced in making, and like that's how they conceive of it. But yes, I do see that tension that you're talking about, and I think the world of this developer because they made two of my childhood favorite my favorite games from childhood. But yeah. I would love to talk about like some of the story elements if you don't feel like there's much from it. Yeah. So the Velocirooster.
Yeah.
The premise of this game, one of the story elements in this game is that there is an evil rooster running around town. This rooster is Detective Dan Mann is trying to catch, and critically, the Velocirooster killed one of the character's mothers. Nora Zelot's mother was murdered by the Velocirooster. And there's just like an innate hilarity to that. And also that this is like played totally straight as a story element. I don't know. I just really, I have a lot of feelings about the Velocirooster.
Yeah, it's got a weird sort of satire, but not really a satire, but a okay, no, it is like a satire because it's almost a reflection on real life, which the Sims at its heart is a reflection of real life and laughing at it and poking fun at it. This one takes it a bit more in a narrative sense rather than a simulation type sense. It is like tragic things happen to people and that sometimes, you know, parents die early. And the thing is that happens in real life. But how it doesn't happen in real life is a Velocirooster killing them. But that's how the Sims can tell a story about death in a way. I don't know. It's weird as well because it's supposed to be a danger element, right? Of you can suddenly be like knocked over and killed.
Yes.
I mean, there is no proper killing in this
game. You pass out.
Yes. But it's sort of funny in that way because it doesn't let you die. It can kill you, Sorry, it can kill people, as we know from, like, the people die in this setting, and yet the Velociraptor can only ever knock you out. And so it will keep you from the precipice of death. It will play with you like the toy you are in its life of entertainment. You are the hunted. It is the hunter. And that is funny to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's all kinds of, like, the Velociraptor is a major plot element, I would say. There are all kinds of, like, little stories just embedded in this weird town of Sim Valley that I really enjoy. Like, Hester Prim is the librarian. Flawless pun in that. It's a play on, obviously, the Scarlet Letter, Hester Prynne. And Hester Prim, the character in Bustin' Out, is also, like, an etiquette. Like, she's Miss Manners in the town. She is upset because the library has been closed down because of a bookworm infestation, and also because nobody returned their library books. Like, it's just, you have to go and, like, squish the bookworms is one of the missions to get the library to open back up. It's absolutely hilarious, the, like, stuff that they've come up with in this story. And the characters are, I would say, largely stereotypes. You know, like, there's the rocker chick, there's the, like, fisherman, you know, they very much play into these tropes, and I'm not going to pretend for a moment that they go that they subvert those tropes in any kind of meaningful way, or that the characters have any real depth to them, but it's just sort of like this colorful cast of characters that accompany you on this silly adventure that I really enjoy.
I think the joy you get is from this cast of characters and the writing. I think that's the strongest stuff. I don't think it's enough to grip someone like me, because the thing is, I'm coming at this from a perspective of someone who has played these type of games before, these sim games, and it's not hitting those highs. Now, if I had never actually played a Sims game before, I would probably just take this at face value and enjoy it for what it is. But it is hard to let go, because I know it's not that, which is why I imagine as a kid, this is a sort of, you know, a good middle ground, because
it's
you didn't really get to experience having it all the time, and this is a nice like alternative.
And I did, like, as shallow as you said that the decorating mechanics are, I did legitimately enjoy them and, like, get into them. So, like, there's the auction house where you can, like, potentially get items for cheaper, but it's only certain hours, and, like, you know, getting enough money so that you can get the golden toilet in your apartment is, like, those were, like, legitimately enjoyable things. And even if it is in a small way, like, I enjoyed customizing my space and making it look to some degree the way I wanted it to.
Yeah, no, I think you aren't wrong for liking this still. It's not a game that is inherently bad. It's just something that is lacking its the full potential that it's trying to hit, you know. There are many, I mean, as I say, for a GBA game, this is ambitious and amazing. I think the thing that gets me is looking at this game and knowing it is not a cash grab, but a, like, The Sims was a big change in how to view games in a way, at least in a more broad public sense. The idea that you could simulate a real life, like a person's life, was very, it's hard to describe it now, but stuff like reality TV and these other aspects of looking at mundane life wasn't really that common, to the point where it becomes a bit boring or a bit mundane and practical, regular, but more, it used to be something that, was more of a, oh, I get to experience, like, this voyeuristic look at what it's like to live this other life. And you still get that now, but it was such a rarity in comparison that it's just interesting to think, because The Sims was the gaming version of that. It was the Second Life before Second Life was quite as big, right? And a thing.
I mean, the premise of the game started with dollhouses, of, like, what would it be like to be able to, like, have a virtual dollhouse in a lot of ways. So, yeah, there is something voyeuristic about it, but I think there's also something aspirational about it, of, like, let me play out these stories that I've imagined in my head, either for myself or just for other people, and, like, create these characters and this setting. And you get to do that less so with Bustin' Out, obviously, but, yeah, I think that there's still a magic to it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think it's that it's not that it's trying to necessarily be the full Sims anyway. It's definitely taking its own route. But yeah, I like I say, I just don't think it can meet the expectations of its ambition.
Mm-hmm.
I will complain about a few more things, don't worry.
Please do.
The fact that you primarily earn money through playing repeated minigames is a fucking downgrade. I would rather my character just go off somewhere for the whole day like it does in this video, the PC game, and just earn money each day, because I cannot be bothered lawn mowing for a fourth time, let alone three times. I don't know how I put up with it as long as I did.
I love some of these minigames. Less so the ones in Bustin' Out. I think the ones in Herbs are better, but like, I legitimately enjoyed some. Like, I love that lawn mowing game. I played a lot of the fishing game because that pays the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the guitar game, you can like play at like a rock club, and that's like a legitimate rhythm game within here. I don't know. I enjoyed a lot of those games, but I do see how it gets repetitive, because like in between making money and like maintaining your motives and socializing with people, you then it's like whatever time I have left, I guess I will do some of my quests. Yeah, I can see how that it's difficult to balance that time.
Yeah. And like, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing to have the mini games. I just think that like the intro one is terrible. I mean, to be fair, I remember a lot of really bad GBA minigames because they were just easy to implement and get a load more content out of, especially repeatable content. So I get why they're there. But in terms of me wanting to play them, like if I had other sources of income, it might not be so bad. But the fact that I am constrained to this, like the reason that they don't have minigames in the main Sims game is because they already have options for a load of other stuff. And they probably know no one actually wants to play their work. Like, you know, this is a simulation type game. Now, I know that the Bustin' Out GBA version is not the same, but people are trying to simulate a life. So they just send them off. They don't actually want to work as, I don't know, a pencil pusher, like bureaucrat, that who may earn a bit of money, but who wants to actually go through all that paperwork. Or to like actually be a thief who tries to break in and steal stuff, which actually might be interesting as a gameplay mechanic, but that isn't why people are there. And I'm not really sure people are coming to Sims Bustin' Out on the handheld for the mini games. They're coming for the, you know, the characters, the adventure feeling, the progression feeling. And yeah, maybe the occasional like self-expression of creating your own little house and household to live in. Though I will say, Cassie, you pretty much like anything that allows you to customize. So I'm not surprised that this one still like, you know, makes you happy. So yeah.
It brings me joy.
Yes. I don't blame you. That's self-expression's great. But yeah, I think it could have offered you anything else to progress with. And I would have been happy to not have to do the mini games, but they are a repeated need that you need to do.
Yeah. Cause you got to have money.
Yeah, you gotta have money, just like real life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just, the other thing is, the minigame is then like compounded with the moped that you get. And I thought, oh, cool, you actually get vehicles, which is something you don't usually get. And also makes me think this was an adventure game before it was a Sims game, because nothing like this ever appears in Sims. But it does, like, it still uses the same crap control scheme of trying to, like tank controls almost, of like, you accelerate with A and then you sort of, like, view with left and right, turn left and turn right. So you're trying to constantly, like, do these awkward movements. Yeah. Just there's so many niggling problems with it.
I thought it held up pretty well when I played. But I might have been going into the mindset of, like, I loved this game in 2003. Let me play it now 20 years later. And, like, this is surprisingly playable. yeah, I can see that.
You also had like in my mind anyway, a familiarity with it. So not everything was like, whoa, or you knew what you were getting yourself into. I had no idea. You might have better ways to actually like progress through it and optimize yourself a bit more. I just had.
And I played with cheats.
Oh, yes. I did play with cheats after a time, but at the same time, I was like, I'm trying to play as much as this game as possible without cheats. And the cheats, definitely welcomed, did not make me enjoy the game more. It just made me remove some of the content, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is like, why am I playing this at this point? You know, if I don't need, if I don't have any needs, like going to the toilet, why am I buying a golden toilet? If I don't need to play them.
To have a golden toilet,
I'm not Donald Trump.
Okay. If I mean, Daddy Big Bucks is effectively a Donald Trump
yeah.
character.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, just wait till herbs.
Oh, God. But like, if I remove the money aspect, then sure, I have no reason to do minigames, which was great. But at the same time, I'm now skipping over all of this content just to basically pursue a very straight storyline that I don't really get to interact with. I just have to do these tasks. So yeah, okay. I just not too much there for me.
What did you think of the ending?
Stupid. In a good way. I mean, it does feel very Sims.
Yeah.
There's always a villain character, so I'll let you explain it better, because like I say, I've only watched it, but there's always a villain character that you sort of follow. So the idea that the villain character sort of does go very serious and they're intense, but sort of gets shot down is really, and in such a stupid way. Anyway, yeah, you go on.
No, I'm talking mostly about the fact that you find out at the end that you were an alien all along.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Returned to space.
Funnily enough, I've played a game like that recently that I'm...
Oh.
No,
they must have been inspired by...
No, this is very much a very different point-and-click adventure type game, but it did give me like similar feelings. But yeah, it almost justifies the whole like experience, because it does make you like an alien in this very weird adventure. Like, none of it makes sense, and it's because you don't know how to interact or progress socially. So you are learning the ways of humanity, which is a big commentary on the whole, like, what this game is, which is you don't know how to play this game, so, and you're just like an alien to it because it's a completely different Sims-like game. It is silly, like, how many layers it can have to it if you think about it. There's so much hidden meaning, potentially, and it just...
Yeah.
It's so stupid that I'm thinking this much about a game like this.
Yes, all of that is true. I really love it. So the villain that you're referring to is Malcolm Landgrab, who the Landgrab family is like established in the Sims universe. Like, there are the Goths in the Sims universe and the Landgrabs, and they're like the big families. And I mean, it's a silly story about he's like buying up Sim Valley and you have to stop him. And it's a very similar storyline in the Herbs, except Daddy Big Bucks is the villain. Yeah, I don't know. Just that twist of you being an alien at the end really humors me. It's a silly little game.
I mean, it is. I'm so glad I played it, because now that I remember, I was just researching quick. I did actually play the console version of this. This was probably my first like proper Sims that I played through. And my nostalgia goggles say that one was much better than this. So
I haven't played a ton of that one. I've played a little bit, but not all the way through.
Yeah, it probably does not hold up, especially to modern Sims games, but it does remind me of why I like this series. It's a lot more traditional than this one was. Yes. It's interesting to think that these games were basically made in tandem, and the different approaches that the game designers and the project leads and all that took.
Did you have a honey? Did you romance somebody?
I did. The girl whose mother got killed by
Nora.
The Velociraptor.
Okay, interesting.
Sorry,
Velociraptor. Please get it right.
Apologies. but it didn't really go anywhere. It was just like, oh, okay, no. Roommate.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I was a Nora fan as a child. As an adult, I was on the Claire Clutterbell train.
Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed you like the bookish type?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that it's just, I don't know. I feel like I grew up with these characters and that they are like part of this like world that I just visited a lot as a child. So they probably mean more to me than they should to any reasonable person.
I still think it is highly commendable as a game. I just think it is very much lost to time.
Okay. I think that's fair. Do you think that this would be a decent game? Like, if this was an app that you could download on your phone, control issues notwithstanding, like, do you think that this would be a fun game for people to engage with?
Are you asking a direct making of this game or like a modern adaption of it?
either way.
Well, I totally legally copy of my own. Played this on my mobile.
Yes.
On back and forth going to work on my commute. I don't think it would have convinced me. The thing is, as well, the mobile market as is incredibly different to what the Game Boy Advance and the N-Gage were trying to do. Funnily enough, I think my creative director actually worked. So my creative director has been in the industry a long time, to the point of he used to work on mobile games before the smartphones existed. Wow. So he was working on games like, not Snake, but you know, that level of mobile games. And I'm pretty sure he worked on he mentioned working on an N-Gage project. And the reason it didn't really go anywhere was because N-Gage just did not do that well in the end. But it is, like, that's how different the market is. Like, a bad selection of games can totally destroy a product being viable. So the landscape's very different. This is not a game that would have any real impact in the mobile market now, because it is a premium thing for a start, and it also just doesn't have any depth to it. It's there to fulfill a nostalgia. I am looking at you because of that. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's maybe true. If I looked over somebody's shoulder on the train and saw them playing The Sims busting out, I think I would lose my mind.
I mean, honestly, with the amount of crap I've played on my phone now, I am genuinely like, I bet someone looks at me and go, what the fuck are they doing? Or, I mean, it's funnier for me, who's obviously researching video games, mobile video games, and whether we like it or not, traditionally the market is aimed towards women, so you have a lot of very female-centric games or mechanics which are non-violent or whatever, and traditionally have very like flowery aesthetics or whatever. I've played on and off a game called Merge Gardens, which is very much like its art style is very cutish, and you have like you know, the plucky heroine and the very attractive like boyfriend type, and I bet people look at me and go, he's so gay, just like the most basic straight answer to what I must be doing. But yeah, you just realize that games that you're playing, people just play weird games as well, and sometimes I really enjoy this, and I don't think this was ever aimed at me.
No, and that's what I was going to say. I think that's interesting what you're bringing up about audience, because I would say The Sims, I think, has appeal across the board, and I'm not saying that there's anything innate or biological about gender that makes us like certain things. Yeah, but gender is a construct. But I think that The Sims has a primarily female player base. Oh,
massively. You go on any YouTube videos that are massive for The Sims audience, it is women who are playing.
Yes, the big Sims YouTubers are primarily women, like Little Simsy. And so, like, to me, it's interesting as a look into that side of the gaming market, which is not traditionally catered toward or that there are games made for it. And so, like, I think of my sister, who played The Sims Bustin' Out a lot and played The Herbs a lot and was a big fan of it. And she is not what I would call a capital G gamer. She had games that she liked and played, and The Sims Bustin' Out was one of them. And one day she said to me, she's like, I want to play a game. Like, can you recommend me a game that doesn't have combat, that is just kind of like a silly little world for me to play around in? And like, I think she was coming from having played these games as kids, and it's still kind of a hard niche to fill. I mean, more so now that we have like Stardew Valley and like Animal Crossing and clones of Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley and so on. But like, I don't think that there are many games like this, and it's probably for the best, because maybe it's not the greatest game in the world. But, you know, I think it's serving a market that does not traditionally get many games made for it, at least not in 2003.
Oh, yeah. For 2003. Sorry, I think you meant today.
No, today I think it's much more
equal. Yeah.
Equal is a generous.
Okay. I would actually say that arguably, because of how big the mobile market is, women are being more catered to than men, but let's not actually go into statistics.
Yes, I think
in
the mobile, sure,
know.
Yes.
I think I mentioned this to our mutual friend of ours, Nick, who I talked to yesterday. We were looking for multiplayer games to play together on the PC, and concluded in the end just playing chess and Scrabble. which really says a lot about our distinguished different libraries. But we were looking at one like extraction looter shooter type game, like very third person action adventure, online only. We're talking core, like hardcore type audience that would be appealing to. And before downloading it, I was like, I was interested in trying this out 2 years ago, whenever it released. I didn't realize it was 2 years, but I thought, okay, let me look at if there's still an active player base. I come from a perspective of mobile games that have daily active users in the hundreds of thousands, potentially, right? We're talking loads of people play a game I work on every day, and that is mind-boggling to think about. And this is a casual audience on the mobile. Like, it's not considered a very respectable type game in the capital G gamer crowd. But you get 100,000 people. But on this hardcore type experience, online-only thing that's been out for 2 years, it had an average player time a day of 8.9 people. We are talking a massive difference. A game that has been out for 2 years on mobile will have, even if it's pretty bad, tens of thousands of people still playing it. You cannot get that in the hardcore audience. So that there is such a, this is a bigger thing than Sims, but there is such a big difference in how these type of games are marketed and how they are sold and how they keep people interested comparatively. Mm-hmm. Because they're very different methods for trying to figure out the same thing. But speaking of The Sims quickly, they did actually make a mobile version of this game, and not of Busting Out specifically, but The Sims on mobile. Yeah, The Sims Mobile.
What did it come out on? It couldn't have been iOS or and Android.
Back in 2018.
What was going on in my life that I missed out on this?
The thing is, I'm imagining, anyway, these games would not be designed with The Sims busting out type of gameplay. It would be primarily there's also The Sims Free Play, whatever this is. So it would have been marketed very differently, and its progress would have been probably locked behind doing certain tasks to unlock certain things. And then let's be honest, you'd probably be paying for items to build with real money as well. So I think the way that you make a Sims game now for a mobile phone market is extremely different, because the premium market is very different. Anyway, I'm going on a bit, but yeah, there are experiences like this that you can get that are like busting out now, but they are not anywhere near as successful.
No.
It's interesting to look at it, because obviously what is considered a success in 2003 mobile market to now, like the fact that The Sims Busting Out on handheld got a sequel is a mad thing to think about, really, because who does that?
EA.
EA, of course.
I would say, just as a closing question, were you at least humored by this game and enjoyed a look into something that you probably would never have touched otherwise?
Massively. I am actually glad you recommended it, because I don't often get to see stuff this old be this, like, you say it held up. I think the writing and the characterization held up. I find that is more fulfilling. Gameplay mechanics and graphics, they get outdated pretty quick. That if you give me something that I can enjoy because it's written well, like if I can read a book from over 100 years ago and I'm still enjoying it, that is a triumph. It doesn't have to be great, but it's definitely clearly conveying some sort of human experience to me. And I know it's stupid to say that, but The Sims busting out on the handheld gave me that human experience.
Okay. You heard it here, folks. The Sims busting out is on par with like classic literature from like 100 years ago. We've got like Virginia Woolf, Faulkner, The Sims busting out.
This is what the kids will be taught in 50 years time.
And I believe we both have English degrees, so we're qualified to make this.
Oh, God. Okay. Imagine if you actually became like a lecturer and you stood up and went, right, So I'm going to need you to go home and emulate the Sims Busting Out on handheld.
They have asked me to be an adjunct professor, and I have said no because I'm too busy.
I'm glad for your own benefit that you're not pursuing that.
Yeah, also an adjunct professor in educational technology, not in English literature. Thank you. Oh, okay. God.
Yeah, no wonder you said no.
Yeah, well, thank you for humoring me and for getting a little glimpse into this world. And I hope that you too think about the Velocirooster and Daddy Big Bucks and Malcolm Landgrab and Uncle Hayseed in your everyday life now.
I am going to dream and have nightmares about all of these people. Sorry, these characters. Wow, they're so alive to me that I call them.
They practically jump off the screen.
Clearly.